You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside CZM Baseball's Matt Modica, the King, Scott Engel, and the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, I am Greg Sussman. Corey, what's poppin', man?
Ain't nothing much, just getting in here today, chilling. What we got today? It's Wednesday?
There's
good, so yeah, I did a 3-hour draft last night, you know what I'm saying?
You had some hockey out of the background, and you did the draft?
I wasn't watching hockey. No, I wasn't watching hockey.
Yeah, maybe the Wizards and Celtics out of the background?
Well, the Wizards and Celtics was on the draft, and it starts at 9 o'clock, so, you know what I mean? That might have been, that was coming towards a conclusion by
well,
that
we had, point. We had overtime, it was a little late.
Nah, it was on, you know, whatever. I was locked in.
All right, whatever.
Matty, I mean, it was a good game. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? Shout out to Isaiah Thomas, the IT. He did his thing. John Wall is still a beast, too. Wizards still going to win this series, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Matty Modica, I know you had the hockey on because the Rangers got out to a 2-0 lead quite early, extended it to 3-0, then 4-0. It was 4-1 within
seconds. They did win.
And the Rangers had a clean third period, and they play tomorrow for a chance to tie the series.
Yeah, it's a wonderful Wednesday morning. Hopefully Thursday night we can tie it up. It's just kind of infuriating that we're down 2-1 when we should be up at least 2-1.
Scott Engel, I can't imagine you were watching hockey or basketball last night.
I did keep track of what some was going on in the NBA, but I was I thought it was an interesting night in Major League Baseball. I was watching baseball last night.
Well, now, what caught your eye?
The Yankees last night. Aaron Judge with two homers. Brett Gardner with two homers. Always happy for that. And I thought there was a very interesting, unique thing that happened with the White Sox last night that I talked about earlier this morning. It was it's the first time that three players, well, technically it did happen on April 14th, three players in the outfield. Well, it's the first time this season it's ever happened in baseball history. The first time that three guys with the same last name ever shared the same outfield.
But it happened a month ago.
Yeah, but you know what? I think I missed
breaking
it when it
news.
Happened on April. I think I missed it when it happened on April 14th.
Oh, it's a huge story.
They all had RBIs last night to celebrate. I thought that was very cool.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, it was a huge story last month.
Yeah, Avisail, Lurie's, and Willie.
Not
Garcia.
Since the Hanson brothers in hockey.
What about the Stahl brothers in hockey?
No, I'm just playing.
Oh, all right, the Hanson brothers in Umbop. That was cool.
The Young Bloods in the NFL.
That was a classic Umbop. Were you into that, Corey?
What's that?
Umbop?
Mm-mm.
Pomona, I know you were a 90s kid that probably secretly loved Umbop. Huh. Interesting.
It was catchy.
Catchy. But no Backstreet Boys.
I admit.
Yeah, I had no idea who Umbop was. I was waiting to.
I'm sure Pavona will bring us back to Umbop at some point. Umbop is a classic.
You like that song?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that surprise you?
No. But, you know.
No, sure not.
You know, I know there was a stigma around it, but it was a catchy tune.
It was.
I never had a problem with it.
True story about Umbop. I saw Hanson, the singer from Umbop. Play the Beacon Theater, right? They're doing a show that they're taping, and they played Umbop like 12 times in a row because they had to tape every effing angle.
When was that?
I don't know, dude. 1998?
Oh, I'm saying because they're still like, I think they're still playing.
Are they? They're like,
yeah.
They gotta be like four.
Yeah,
that's crazy. For me, last night, what I watched, watched the Rangers. I had the Rangers on, had the Mets on. Jay Bruce goes boom, big time, Grand Slam. But. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough. Judge's two homers got mentioned. Brett Gardner had a couple homers. They had out on MLB Tonight. And so the whole Manny Machado and Boston Red Sox thing.
Yeah.
Which we're going to get into because I thought that, things would simmer down and, everyone would cheer Adam Jones after
after what happened the night before, and instead of everything kind of calming down and everyone kind of coming together around these horrible racists, the racism that took place on Monday night, it was the opposite last night in Boston. In fact, everything got a little revved up with Manny Machado at the plate, and it all stemmed from a couple of weeks back where Machado did a hard slide into second base, immediately went down to help Dustin Pedroia up, gets thrown behind, or gets hit the next day. Two days later, and he got missed by Matt Barnes. If he would have got hit in the leg the next day, it would have been fine, but Matt Barnes threw at his head. And then Chris Sale, first at bat last night, throws right behind him. And Manny Machado, as Scott said at the end of the hour, at the 7 o'clock hour, he said a lot of things we can't say. I want to talk about Boston. I want to talk about Baltimore. And I want to talk all about Major League Baseball when we come back. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Unfortunately, we didn't get the umbop part there, which that's like the chorus. It literally has zero words. It's just like right? Umbop,
it's like that Nirvana song where they're just like
yeah.
What was that other song?
Oh yeah,
that song was terrible.
It was such a terrible song.
Once there was a roto expert.
Anyway. Let's get back. Let's get to Boston and Baltimore. I know everybody has thoughts on this. Now, you guys corrected me during the break because I had said this is continued retaliation on Manny Machado for the hard slide and Dustin Pedroia. And Scotty, you had brought up that Chris Sale and the Red Sox and other analysts pointed out, well, that might not have been the case this time.
Well, but Tony was saying it this morning, too, with that Mookie Betts actually got plunked the night before. And that was part of the storyline as well. But Sale was definitely amped up because after he tried to throw Machado for whatever reason, he went in the dugout and he told his teammates, and I quote this from MLB Network, "This is not a game, this is war."
And I love that from my starting pitcher. Yeah. That's what I want to see.
You know, it's really interesting because like I said during the break or just before we went to break, if Matt Barnes or whoever would have hit him in the frickin' leg first at bat last Saturday after he dove into Pedroia the night before, no one says a word. He goes right to first base and it's all over. Instead, he threw at his head 2 days later. And, okay, that's gone too far. Whatever, he steps up to the plate. They hit bets, whether it was intentional or not the night before. I don't think it was, but I don't know. They threw at him again. He threw behind him. And Sale doesn't miss. Sale wanted to hit him. He would have hit him. Said he threw behind him. And there's temperatures are just climbing. Corey, Machado flipped out last night.
Yeah.
Profanity lays tirade to Gary Thorne on the broadcast, to the beat reporters after the game. He went wild.
Yeah. I mean, Manny Machado's sick of it. You know what I'm saying? Getting thrown at his head and stuff like that by the Boston pitcher. So Machado's a guy who tends to stay in the mix of these kind of controversies and stuff like that. But Manny Machado was time enough for it, so it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out between these two teams. They'll get the bench clearing pretty soon, though, and that'll be cool.
It could be tonight.
I mean, they're not going to beef tonight.
Do you think that because of Manny Machado's hatred for Boston and the Red Sox, it gives him a better chance to go to the Yankees?
I hope so.
Same. That'd be cool.
You're cool. Not gonna go to the Mets.
No,
that will never happen.
Those
cheap bastards.
It'd be bankrupt.
Hey man, it happens. The whole bankruptcy. I mean, speaking of bankruptcy, the Madoff movie's coming out on HBO soon.
Oh really?
Yeah.
They made a movie about that?
They did.
Robert De Niro does look like a good person.
He does. Starring De Niro and Michelle Pfeiffer. Does Michelle Pfeiffer really? Do it for you, Scotty?
Michelle Pfeiffer Scarface does it for me.
She's a very, she does it very attractive woman, but not quite my type.
Not quite your type.
Yeah. Not quite your type, eh,
no,
guy?
No. Well,
Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't really do it for me either, to be honest.
No,
with
she
me.
Doesn't do it for me. I can't say she's ugly, though.
You know, I think that, like, when I first got to Michelle Pfeiffer, she was a little bit older.
Yeah, okay. And I can see maybe that. But I mean, a lot of talk about Scarface.
Yeah.
She's drop-dead gorgeous.
Sure.
Doesn't do it for me. That's what I hear, though. Like, a lot of guys like her in Scarface. And, you know, my wife even comments how gorgeous she is in Scarface. It just doesn't do it for me.
Speaking of the Red Sox and the Orioles, they also played a game last night, in which the Red Sox won 5-2. And Henry Ramirez went boom, not once, but Henry Ramirez goes boom twice. Fourth and fifth home run of the year. And, Core, when Henry Ramirez gets locked in, I mean, he hits a lot of home runs in a row.
Yeah, when Hanley gets it going. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I was reading something yesterday, and it was like Hanley Ramirez is about to get ready to get hot.
Really?
Really was. And sure enough, he comes right out. He hits two home runs. Hanley's one of these players that when he gets locked in, he can carry an offense.
And that's what we saw last night with the two home runs, the RBIs, and Ramirez. We're kind of waiting for him to get hot. He can't play the field. He literally can only hit and as someone that's owned Hanley in the past, I'm used to the hot streaks. And most power hitters, Scotty, go through hot streaks and cold streaks. And Ramirez has been pretty cold before last night. And he had an opportunity to go deep last night twice, and he took it.
Yeah, that's kind of hard for a guy like you in head-to-head, like, you know, to have to, like, deal with that. And, like, you know, and if a guy's on a hot streak and then you have him in your lineup and he goes cold, it's very annoying. The good thing is Sale got his second win. Right now, he might be the best pitcher in baseball, but that is the most run support that he's gotten all season.
I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, Chris Sale, to me, is... This is what you want to see from a guy that you trade for. He gets on the big show. Look, playing in Boston is maybe just as tough, if not harder, than playing in New York. Of course, the Red Sox, especially that first year when you come over via trade or free agency... And he's taken it, he's run with it, he's embraced it, what he's doing. And you know what? Greg Kimbrell's a guy I was kind of nervous about coming into the season. He had that leg injury, the knee injury last season. But, I mean, since that early on, he had a little problem with some walks, like the first appearance or two. But he has been nothing but lights out. I think he's like a 47% strikeout rate. So, I mean... It's the Red Sox division, and I really don't see anybody else.
Yeah, and here's the thing: is like Kimbrel has been so good that we have just haven't spoke about him because there's been nothing to talk about. You know that he's just been that good so far.
He has. It's funny. I remember in the GST league, I thought I stole him. You know, 18 rounds later, because everyone was concerned about him. I didn't. He was taken where he should have been taken. But Kirk Kimbrel's perfect so far. Chris Sale's just been unbelievable so far. Finally, he got the win, as you said, Scotty. More run support than he's had all year. And he's been everything you could have asked for when he went to Boston. I know Corey and I were both very concerned about Chris Sale coming over to Boston, given some of his temper tantrums in Chicago. I thought with Boston, it wasn't a great spot in year one. We're on Corey for now.
Nah, so far, he's doing real good. He's coming to play. He's looking like one of the best pitchers in the majors right now. Like you said, a little bit more run support, and he would really be rocking and rolling. But we know where Chris Sale is when his mind is strapped in and he's locked on. So Chris Sale is getting it done, unfortunately.
Yeah, I talked about it in the preseason. You know, you were in disagreement with me, Greg. I said, you know, person I spoke to out of Boston has been on that beat for years saying, you know, this guy is going to have a terrific year. He's very excited to be here. It reminds me when Schilling came to Boston.
Yeah, I 100% disagreed with it. And I thought that Chris Sale did not necessarily have the personality to fit with Boston, at least through the first month. And he hasn't exactly gone through the rough times yet, which will come, as it comes for everybody. It's peaks and valleys in baseball. It's a long season. But through the first month, I mean, he's been arguably the best pitcher in baseball.
I think back to the Greenwich Street Tavern League. And I'm thinking in retrospect, sometimes you regret what you didn't do. And I wasn't in a position to draft Chris Sale. I'm thinking back now, if I would have had the chance, I would have walked over to somebody's table and actually traded up for him.
I forgot what I was going to say right now. I had a point, but
don't worry about it. It'll come back to you.
On the other side of things, speaking of the closers, mentioned Craig Kimbrell, Zach Britton returned last night off the DL. Let a hit, allowed a walk. Other than that, pitched fine. Modiga, how did he look? How was his velocity? What did you see or read there?
I didn't see that part of the game, unfortunately. But I mean, I'm just gonna monitor him. You know, I think he'll be fine if everything's good. He says, you know, he didn't experience any problems. So, I mean, he came in as a guy. What he's done the last couple of seasons has been pretty remarkable. So, I think right now you're fine. I'm still going to keep an eye on him, though, for the next week or so.
All right. Like I said, I'm not dropping Brad Brock at all yet. I want to see Britton come back and pitch well. You know, I don't know what the velocity was, because I haven't seen any negative reports, which is good. But just something you want to be concerned about until you have no reason to be concerned anymore. The starting pitcher, Scott, was Alec Asher, who came over from the Phillies. And Asher, I've been, like, keeping an eye on him, like, from afar. But in every opportunity he's gotten, he's pitched really well. Quality start last night in a tough spot. Really, most of his damage was just Hanley Ramirez. And other than that, he's done a really nice job as a starting pitcher for the Orioles when given an opportunity. Now, I don't know if he'll stay in the rotation. I do know Tillman's back, and Ubaldo probably should lose his spot. But Asher's done really, really well.
He hasn't gotten a lot of strikeouts, though, and I think consistently, and Matt can certainly speak to this, the kind of pitching expert that he is, you worry about those guys. You know, they might, you know, give you three good starts and then really blew up.
Yeah, I mean, Tillman pitched last night, actually. Yamankato is one of the guys that homered off of him. When I saw an early line on him, he had given up like five runs. It's a minor league start, just getting the work in. But I would think Ubaldo loses the spot, if anybody.
You know, we've said that many, many times, and yet here he is, still pitching
over
in
years.
The Royals.
$50 million will keep you in the
Yeah, for sure. Hey, we're going to come back. Corey, let's talk about the judge. That's fun.
Yep, he's hitting big home runs.
Over and over and over. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, we're back here. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. I am.
What were these guys? Crash test dummies?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well done. Well done. That's all I got.
Literally. That's all you have to have.
Literally. You know, I know we joke about a lot of players all the time. We talk about some of the same players on a daily basis, but sometimes they give us the reason that we almost like have to. And that's kind of how I feel when it comes to Aaron Judge, who, by the way, somehow still sitting sixth in the Yankees lineup, even with Jacoby Ellsbury out. But it doesn't matter where he's heading, because he's leading the league in home runs now with his 11th, 12th home run of the year. One a cheapie in the short corner in right field, one a bomb to left. And Aaron Judge batting .313, the OBP's at .424. This dude has become very, very quickly. And this is what happens when you are in New York. Like, don't give me the crap. Like, it doesn't matter to be in New York anymore. This is what happens when you're in New York. You become a star very quickly. Aaron Judge is a star.
Here's something for you. Judge is now at 12 home runs after 25 games.
As a Yankee.
You look at the rich history of the New York Yankees, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Only two other players have ever hit 12 home runs in 25 games. Mm-hmm. One of those was Babe Ruth in 1921. And the other was A-Rod in 2007. Judge is in company with only those two guys.
What's amazing is Kevin Moss is not on that list. Remember that guy? Remember when he came up? That was like
crazy. All he did was hit home runs.
It was like Lou Gehrig.
You know,
and he flamed out.
Hopefully Aaron Judge doesn't also flame out. But, you know, Judge is just on an incredible roll right now. He is entirely locked in. But I got to ask you, Matt, from a fantasy perspective. You look at what Judge is doing. And I said that we said the same thing about Eric Thames about a week ago. And not that Thames is all of a sudden just like hit the bricks here, but like we said the same thing about Eric Thames a week ago, where guy hit a home run every day, and it was seemingly impossible to be this hot. Do you trade it away and just trade as literally as high as it could possibly be? That's where Aaron Judge's value is at right now, right? Like as high as it possibly be. Like, can you trade an Aaron Judge for like a Corey Seager? Like, I don't know, maybe. I mean, that's how good Judge has been. Are you trading away Judge right now?
Listen, I would trade anybody pretty much, depending if it's the right deal. I mean, this guy, the power's real. I remember when I first saw him in the Arizona Fall League, and one of the things that the people there were saying is he has a short, compact swing, which for like a big power hitter is kind of different from the norm. A lot of them have like a long swing and stuff like that. I mean, what he's doing, I mean, he's had the power is real, we know that. The average, I mean, it's not like his BABIP is out of whack or something. It's like just over 300. But the average is going to come down probably. He's going to have a slump. Like you mentioned the other day, he's going to have a string of strikeouts at some point. At some point, they're going to have some tape on him too, and they're going to, you know, try and figure him out a little. But, I mean, I'm not looking to trade him, but I'm going to listen. I mean, just like Eric Thames is a perfect comp. I think Eric Thames has proven that his eye is much improved, and what he learned over in Korea is translating into MLB.
And you look at the fact Judge is striking out less. Now, you pointed about a bit, but I saw that. Of course, the home run, the fly ball rate is outrageous, 54.5%. But the hard hit rate, that's not much different than last year. You know, Judge is a guy that we've heard about for years. He's going to go through a slump, like you said. He's going to strike out a lot. It really depends on who it's for. You always listen, yeah.
I mean, one thing I will say is this year we are gonna smash the home run record. It hasn't even gotten warm out yet. And last season we came close to it. This season I think, look, guys are using launch angles and advanced metrics and all that stuff. But since the middle of 2015, that ball has been juiced as well. So it's not just the launch angles and stuff. We are playing with a juice ball. And if anybody doesn't believe that, I'll log you that till the end of time.
Corey.
They put the ball, right? So what they did is they took the baseball and they put like this the steroid in the baseball. This way the baseball is just like flying out the ballpark.
They're gonna test the balls.
They can't test the ball.
Yeah.
How Scott, you test balls?
What?
Are you a ball tester?
Yeah. Want me to test yours, honey?
No, that's what you do. I told you touch, yeah. You tip.
I got money.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Do you test the balls at when you go to the Mets Stadium, Citi Field?
No, I do it right here with
you,
baby.
No, don't touch me, Scott. I keep telling you that. Sorry, Greg.
I got money, sweetie.
Sorry, Greg. Yo, it's crazy, though. Why do baseball, like, they want to go back to home runs? You know, home runs?
People like home runs.
Home runs are cool.
I mean, look at Sosa, McGuire. I mean, I think we've gotten to the point where in all sports, they just want offense.
Yeah.
They think that's what's going to sell. They think that's what's going to turn these
fantasy. You know what I'm saying?
I think what MLB really needs to do, we talk about that there's not enough blacks in MLB.
Yeah.
What 62 of them.
That's all together. That's crazy. I thought that was a joke.
But I mean, in all honesty, what they need to do is what they do in the Dominican Republic and stuff. They have these camps and these things. They need to do that in America.
Haven't they tried that with the RBI programs?
The RBI program is a first step. They need to take that a step further. They need to really, you know, get these kids in there. The whole thing is getting the young kids to play the game. If they play the game, they'll be fans of the game. You know, it's a lot easier to, I mean, you watch football, it's exciting, it's once a week. You don't have to make a commitment every day to the thing. I don't think changing the game, I mean, I don't really understand why we have this automatic intentional walk. That to me is just like foolish. Yeah. But whatever. You know,
kids are not excited by watching baseball. And even if they play it, you know, you would hear kids till the end of time complain like, I'm just standing out in the field doing nothing.
They like the bat, though.
I don't think that's true.
You have to wait.
I think with kids,
kids are not excited by watching baseball. It doesn't excite
them. Anytime you're a kid and you're good at that sport, you will like that sport. If you get the kid involved in the sport at an early enough age and he's good at it, he'll want to play. If he's not good at it, baseball's not that easy. It's not easy hitting the ball,
I talked to some major leaguers when I've done my interviews, and Malik Smith was like, I was never a baseball fan. You know, just like, and he's good at it. It's like, I was never a baseball fan.
Isn't it much easier just to go down to the schoolyard and there's a basketball hoop and all you need is a ball? Soccer.
He wanted to play football. A lot of kids today want to play football or basketball. They're bored by watching baseball on television. It's not like when we were coming up.
I think the television issue is the problem. I think it's television. It's not a good television game. It's just not.
I don't know.
It's a good fantasy game.
I love watching it.
I feel you. It's an acquired taste. You know, Scott watched NASCAR. You know what I'm saying? It's an acquired taste.
440,000 people playing on DraftKings. That's a large acquired taste.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
I believe you've told me it doesn't matter what's popular.
Exactly.
I tell you millions of people watch certain things.
Corey only cares if it's popular, then he likes it. He has to have other people validate what he likes.
Well, you just want to give the number of people that watch playing on DraftKings.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's an inaccurate statement, though. I have to set him straight.
You can't set me straight.
I just did. That's true. You know what? That's true. I don't think you can be
Scott,
set straight.
Don't nobody watch that. Don't nobody watch the cosmic.
440,000 people
playing
on DraftKings.
Nobody watch them cosmic left turns. You know, the home run conversation, though, Greg. Me and you, our favorite home run of all time is probably the same home run.
I imagine it was.
I can imagine so. But
Aaron Boone.
Boone. Uh-huh. What about you, Scott? Your favorite home run of all time? Like your most? Because the home run does elicit emotion. You feel what I'm saying?
No doubt about it.
I think it's Mike Piazza right after 9/11.
Oh, that was a good one too. That was a good one.
I like Darryl Strawberry in Game 7 of '86.
Sure.
Yeah.
Against the Strohs.
Against the Red Sox.
Against the Sox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Mr. November one was good.
Mr. November for Derek Jeter. That was a good one.
I remember Mr.
Scott
November.
Scott Brosius was a huge one. That was awesome.
I remember that one. So the Mr. November one, I was leaving work, and I was watching it. Then it got to the bottom of the inning, and I ran out, and I got in the cab, you know what I'm saying? And the cab had to make a stop, whatever. And I came back, and the game was over. And I was like, what the hell happened? And it was like Derek Jeter hit a home run. And I was like,
Mr. November.
I watched this all damn night.
Oh, did you guys see that awkward interview with Jeter and A-Rod?
So I didn't read it because I thought it wasn't real. I was like, there's no way Jeter and A-Rod sat down together and did anything.
They did? I thought that was a joke too, Greg. I thought that was like fake news.
Same.
I don't know why Jeter would ever do anything with A-Rod.
Right. I didn't believe it was real.
Earlier in their careers, they were friends too.
Best friends. And then A-Rod got jealous of him.
Yeah.
Then they became teammates.
You think Jeter was jealous that A-Rod was with a Met ball with J-Lo?
Probably not. Derek Jeter really don't trip off of stuff like that.
Yeah, probably not.
I seen Alex Rodriguez.
Did Jeter ever date J-Lo?
I don't think openly. So. At some point, everybody in the city probably got it.
But Jeter or J-Lo?
With Jeter. And probably, let me not say that. I don't know the young lady.
I actually caught my wife watching a J-Lo movie yesterday.
Yeah. So
like, they're not good.
No, they're not.
No, she's
they're
not.
All well, very bad.
Like, no,
there's one that I do like. Enough.
We're all
that, that's probably oh, oh. Best. I know Jim Caviezel.
Yeah, that's, oh, Jim that's Caviezel? A good one. Yeah,
I have not.
When she played Selena, I thought that was good too.
That was like her breakout acting role,
yeah,
right?
I like that
Selena.
Movie. Yeah,
I've never seen Selena.
I seen A-Rod not too long ago.
Yeah. What did he have to say?
Walking down 8th Avenue.
Oh, he's walking down.
Had a hat on and some. I see that. I see Alex Rodriguez all the time.
I know. We don't want you. We're not telling us where he's
going.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually told me that story before.
That was the Cameron Diaz days.
Which is another one that, by the way, when she was in The Mask, I thought she was like the hottest woman of all time, and then I never found her attractive ever again.
Yeah, she.
True.
I'll agree with that statement. I'll stop there.
Like Elizabeth Hurley and Bedazzled.
Elizabeth Hurley is one of my all time favorites. I saw her at Spago in Beverly Hills. We were throwing a function when I worked on Wall Street, and she was there. One of the most beautiful women I've ever seen live.
That one movie though, like Bedazzled.
Totally with you in that. It's so funny you said that. All right, we mentioned Gardner's two home runs. You mentioned Judge's two home runs. Aaron Hicks also went deep. Aaron Hicks. I have to imagine, guys, it's going to be an interesting daily play the rest of the week because there's going to be no Jacoby Ellsbury. You know Hicks is going to start in center field for New York, and he's hot. 5 home runs on the year, 300 average, 419. He's a former first-round pick. The Yankees loved these reclamation projects. He was terrible last year. Maybe he's figured it out.
Yeah, but and with Ellsbury now dealing with this bruise in his elbow, he's going to get a chance to play.
One of the best things about last night's game was when Aaron Judge hit that home run to right field. Was the facial expression on Matt Latos? He was basically laughing. He just took that outside pitch.
Most people have been laughing at Matt Latos anyway.
Right. I'd like to see you laugh at Matt Latos in his face. See what happens.
Wouldn't do it in his face.
At least he was honest.
I don't understand. Yeah.
No, I'm too soft to do it in his face.
I don't think you do it either.
I'm OG, Scott. No, I would play
you're
that.
Just hot
I
air.
Laugh in your
you're
face.
Hot air.
I laugh in your face.
Do it right now. Do it to you. You ain't no Matt Latos.
It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, gentlemen. We come back right after this. Here's a little J-Lo for you, Waiting for Tonight. My grandma came out to the song at my bar mitzvah, just for the record.
What happened?
So, at bar mitzvahs, everyone, like, those that are lighting candles and stuff,
yeah,
there's a song that's played before they come up. And my grandma, it was candle number one, and she came out to the song.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So, you know. She was waiting for tonight, she was excited about my bar mitzvah, so.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were saying that you had J-Lo at your bar mitzvah.
No,
I'm about to say.
No.
Jeez, bro.
I had this song played by
I
the DJ.
It. Just hire J-Lo, yeah.
I had this song played by a DJ at my bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that
no,
that,
no, it's cool.
Yeah.
Where was your bar mitzvah at?
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey, at like a, they have like a
temple. Is that a temple?
Okay. So what?
5 minutes from my house.
I'm curious here now.
he all of a sudden just set up, so, turned around.
So this is you're 13 years old when this takes place.
13 years old, yeah.
All right, so
becoming a man.
Yeah. Well, a like what is the why 13? Is it because like that's what that? Well, then again, I don't know.
That's just the age.
It's just the age. Okay.
You're 13, you're a man. You
right.
Bar mitzvah, you become a man, they say.
Yeah, 13, yeah. You become a man. All right, it's cool. So what do you do? This is like you and your homeboys, whatever?
So in the morning, you're at temple, all families, you're in synagogue with all your family, and you have to read from the Torah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you read their Haf Torah, which is just some more scripture, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You read a bunch of this.
You had to do it by yourself?
Yes.
Okay, so you're, yep. Okay, so you're, like, you're on the spot.
Shofar?
I'm sorry?
Do you get to blow the
shofar? No. That's a holiday. That's many months later.
That's a different one.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah.
So you read all this stuff, basically. And once you're done with that, that is your technical bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
But
the reading.
Yes.
Okay.
But now today, in today's day and age, everyone just throws like a massive party.
Yeah.
And so then that night, so that's on Saturday morning, and Saturday night you have a big blowout party.
So and then who comes to this party?
Everybody. All your friends, all your parents' friends, all their friends are friends. I mean, how much?
So but the thing about it is, if you and your homeboys, like your homeboys is probably 13 too.
Yeah, of course.
So you spend like a year going to bar mitzvahs.
Exactly.
How is that? Well, I guess if you're 13, it's
cool. You know what? Sometimes it's fun, and other times it's just like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So now I think a lot of us, you guys maybe, I've been past this now, but for me, like, I'm in wedding season, right? Like, all my friends are close to 30, so I'm getting married.
Yeah.
So now, but like, the wedding season is a little bit more fun. Because you can drink and you're just
drunk,
and you drink for free, really. Yeah. So you're getting drunk with your friends. When you're 13, you're not getting drunk with your friends.
No,
yet. So you know it's you're hanging out, which is cool. But now I'm kind of into wedding, except when I have to pay for like the present. That's not so fun.
No, that part is kind of
always give cash.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I'm not I don't believe in giving gifts.
People oh no kids. No! Oh, I give a check.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, okay. Cash. Oh, okay.
So hold on now. So you go on the bar mitzvah circuit, whatever.
Yeah.
Do the little girls come to this thing?
Yeah,
too?
Sure, of course. Guys and girls.
Yeah, so you like
the
it at that point.
The circuit, that's awesome. That.
So, I guess they all got the little girls there. Let's see if this thing works.
Well, you want to turn a holy event into something.
Well, the party really loses most of most of the holiness.
Yeah, I kind
of
figured the party.
Holiness at the
your parents
party.
Probably have a good time at the party, too.
My parents are really, pay a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. All the parents do.
Scott, how was yours?
What's that?
How was yours?
I didn't have one.
Okay.
Would you like to have one? Should we throw your bar mitzvah?
I didn't want to.
Yeah, I'll have one.
I don't know if it's...
Can you read Torah?
If you're sad about that.
What?
You have to read Torah, though. We can just throw you at the party.
We can do one for Scott.
Yeah.
I'll be doing it to Rock and Rollies.
Right on the
Rent the Rabbi?
Right on the patio.
Yeah, right on the patio.
Rent the Rabbi?
We have it like sundown.
Do you know a lot of people that get it done like after 13?
My dad did.
Your dad did?
Sure. My dad actually got bar mitzvahed in Israel.
Oh, that's the wrong thing. You're going to get much better than that.
He had never been bar mitzvahed, so he went with like my mom's family to Israel, and then he was like, all right, we're gonna bar mitzvah for you now.
Right there in Israel.
How old was your dad, if you don't mind me asking?
How old was my dad? So it was before I was born. So my dad was probably 35, 36.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Let me ask you, I never... been like I'm
you
I didn't
bar
I ne- well no I've never been invited.
Well, if I have a kid, you know,
we're
still friends,
and I'll bring
if I have one, you'll be invited.
Obviously yours. Matt, if you have one if you decide. I never been to a prom before. Very painful.
You've never been to a prom. Now, I mean, like, your son's getting to the age where he's going to go to prom.
But yeah, but no, I'm saying, like, I never was like...
Why did you went to an all-boys school, didn't you?
But we had a prom.
Why did you go?
Yeah, whatever.
Why did you go?
Huh?
Why did you go to prom?
I didn't have a date to go to the prom.
Really?
Yeah.
And now you have too many dates.
Throw you a prom.
Yeah,
can we do that? Can we throw me a prom? And Rock and Riley's?
Well, you'd have to bring someone.
And you can't be 16.
No. I don't want some guy pops. Some guy falls and standing at the door.
Yeah.
What are you doing, my? That's not funny, y'all. So yeah, we can throw. I'll get a date. We need to put on the schedule. We need to talk to people at Rock and Raleigh. And we need to put Scott's bar mitzvah and my prom
we'll
on
call
the schedule.
It a prom mitzvah.
Not the same day, Scott.
Same day, prom.
Not the same day. It's different crowds.
A little bit.
So, for my prom, we do my prom out back too, right?
Yeah.
But like the thing about it is, it's not gonna be nobody else's prom.
No. And it's nice. It's like prom weekend where everyone's the boutonniere. The suit.
But I'm saying you can get a date.
Yeah, sure.
Scott, you have a date.
Yeah.
Matt, you already have a date. So
what are we going to do about Jake?
Oh, boy. He can come, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we should have a prom. Yeah. We should have a prom. I'm going to find me a prom date today.
All right, you'll work.
We've
lost Corey the rest of the show.
You kind of want to repair that. You know?
Yeah,
like,
but I'm seriously speaking.
That's something you want to do on your bucket list before you, yeah.
I think I still got plenty of time. But no, obviously, as an adult male.
Something that bothered you in the past.
No,
so.
I really like people.
I'm putting on a tuxedo.
People always, you know, when I tell people, they be like, oh. And I'm like,
you want to close that door.
No, I need prom closure. Yeah. I need to have a prom.
Yeah.
I guess an adult prom is a wedding, but.
Sorry, I'm not that far yet.
I feel like there's a better chance you have a prom.
I have to say this. I'm sorry, Greg. I don't mean to take the show in another direction, but look. The Bills are breaking up with Sammy Watkins. You have to. Okay?
That's such a terrible decision. That just ensures I will be drafting Sammy Watkins, and he will have a monster season.
Yeah.
And the Bills will have to franchise him and pay a lot more money than they would have.
Get excited.
That, you know what? I didn't think about it. That's likely going to happen. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. I'm back in. So I'm glad to hear everybody it's something. It's missing. You know, yeah. The prom.
We can play old retro
it's missing,
music.
Yeah. It's missing. Yeah, I guess when I would have been prom age, like Redman, Naughty by Nature. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
stuff like that.
I can't imagine you doing picking a slow dance song though. It's like Me So Horny is not like a slow dance.
I don't know what the hot slow jam. Mary J. Blige had just came out around the time I went to prom, so
didn't go to prom.
But yeah, I should have been the prom, you know what I'm saying? So that could have been like a slow jam, a ballad.
Hurried
like
Method
that.
Man, you're old. So, nah, I need to get by.
That's the same era. You're right. That is the same era. Because that was a freshman.
Mary J. Blige, yeah.
Well, you know, they shot the video not too far from where I live. And I remember that was my freshman year of college when that came out. So yeah, I still, you know, was in that age group. But it's very hurtful that I never had a chance to do this. I'm going to need to see. When is Dr. A coming on?
About
9:30.
All right,
so I'm
asking.
He's not a psychiatrist.
What happened to getting a sports psychologist?
I think I know exactly why the dude never did it. Because I think he works for the Mets.
Really?
And I think that when he's found out we were fantasy, that he didn't really want, like, he knew, like, we was going to ask him what the hell is going on with the Mets.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. We got to find another one.
You got to find another one. I'm very interested in this.
I know.
Whatever.
If we have anybody that's is versed in mental health, can you call us? Because I need to talk about this prom situation. So please, any doctors out there, 844-843-6879, if you can help me get through this. I don't want to say depression, but now that we're talking about it and we brought it up, I'm a little hurt by this prom thing. Because everybody else had a chance to enjoy their prom, and I didn't have a chance to enjoy my prom.
Why don't you go out there and ask Kayla to prom right now?
Where's Kayla at?
I don't think she's here tonight, to be honest.
She's off today. I'll ask Sophie.
Her name, I don't think her name's Sophie.
You sure about that?
Pretty positive.
That would be embarrassing if I did that. And yeah. Then I asked her to the prom, and she'd be like, who the hell is Sophie? And I'd be like,
I came out yesterday. Kayla,
you came out yesterday?
Kayla said to me.
What took so long? When you first started going to the park, I knew something was different. Yeah. But it's okay, though.
You talk about maturity, right? I got to set you straight again?
Nah, you can't set me straight. You ain't mad enough.
See, I can't set you straight. He did set me straight. You're not straight, Clay. I can't set you straight. Yeah, I got you there. Hey, no, but when I walked out of the studio yesterday.
Cha-Cha tweeted a picture of your bar mitzvah, Scott. I'm going to retweet this at the Fantasy Executive.
Wow. Oh, I got some news from Matt Modica.
Oh, what's going on?
I wanted to say something.
Oh, well, I'm actually getting on track rather than whatever
you're saying. Yeah, we're way off the
rail. Corey's throwing us off a track.
This is the young Mac right here.
I got some interesting news for you. Recently released by the Browns, veteran tight end Gary Barnage, our man,
signs with the Buffalo Bills.
He's visiting the Buffalo Bills today.
I like that a lot. I really do. I think Barnage is a guy that, especially in the red zone, could be used very effectively. The Bills desperately need a tight end, so I'm all for that. Go Gary.
There you go. Go Gary.
Hey, last night in the draft I did, Jamal Charles, newest member of the Denver Broncos, went in the 10th round.
There you go.
Probably too early.
I mean, much as I want to root for Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson went in the 10th round.
There you go. Interestingly enough. I do want to get back to baseball here because I want to talk about...
Let's do it.
...something with the Dodgers. Because we spoke about this yesterday morning, yesterday afternoon as well. And I was so annoyed and frustrated with this Cody Bellinger nonsense. They were going to send down one of the few guys that was actually hitting. And we know that Adrian Gonzalez has been bothered by a forearm injury or a shoulder injury for most of this year. Well, last night he sat out, and once again they threatened to put him on the DL for the first time in his career. And what do you know? Cody Bellinger back in the lineup, and what do you know? Cody Bellinger hit. Now, Franklin Gutierrez is back. I believe Jock Peterson is back, which means both these guys are back, which means Bellinger should be going down, except he's not. Because, wow, we're not going to send down the guy that's hitting!
Adrian Gonzalez might go on a DL, and they might keep Bellinger that way. I mean, he hit a triple last night, so.
But why do teams come out and say, "Well, he's definitely going"? They make it where they got to backtrack and all this stuff. Look, this kid is one of the most highly anticipated prospects. The Dodgers really don't have to worry about his clock. They got tons of money and all that, and the Dodgers right now need his bat.
Yeah, you look at it; it's almost like a Conforto situation, like. You know, the kids obviously belongs in the lineup, but yet you're keeping veterans out there, you know, and maybe some that don't necessarily belong to, should be belonging there anymore.
Hey, the Dodgers, how much of the Dodgers do Magic Johnson own?
I don't think that much.
Not that much. Like the main owners are the
it's kind of like Jay-Z kind of thing.
With the Nets, same different type of thing.
He brings in that, like, it's more of like the name value.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I'm sure he gets
Google that
nice
during the break. We're talking about Cody Bellinger right now.
You're talking to, son.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
You better relax. I'm not the one. I talk about what I want to talk about. I'm the fantasy executive.
You were one during prom, yeah.
No, I'm just letting you know.
Well, just getting back to Gutierrez, what that guy does versus left-handed pitching is quite remarkable.
Yeah, he had a bomb last night.
He just owns left-handed pitching.
Yeah, he did. It's his first home run of the year. And it's funny because Frank Gutierrez is a guy that I joked about. Like, I couldn't believe this guy still has a job, but it's because he can hit left-handed pitching. And, you know, speaking of pitching, Alex Wood, 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 4 earned runs, 5 runs total, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. Pitched enough to get the win because Matt Moore got absolutely wrecked.
Yep.
But you could have been satisfied with his actual performance.
No, you're never satisfied when somebody gives up 4 runs. I was rooting for him to come out that 5th inning. I was watching the Paxton Shoemaker game at the time, but I really rooted for him. But the encouraging thing with the start is the 8 strikeouts to 1 walk.
That's true.
Those kind of performances, that's always going to stand out to me.
For the Giants, Matty Moore, as I said, gets wrecked. 6 hits, 9 runs. He walked 5 guys, struck out 3. For San Francisco, Brandon Belt had a couple of hits, as did Christian Arroyo. So both those guys, a couple of hits in this Giants lineup that, you know, put up 5 runs, but it was no match for the Dodgers as they obviously put up 13. Johnny Cueto, another one of these guys that have the blister, but he says he's going to pitch through it, Scotty.
Yeah, he's supposed to make his start Sunday against the Reds.
But I'd be very, very nervous about that, Matt, and see if he could make it through because he already says he's got a blister.
No, I think what Dr. A said was it depends on where on the hand the blister is.
That is very true, Corey.
If it's in a spot where it doesn't, where he's not touched, like where it's not affecting how he's gripping the baseball,
right,
then he can play through it.
That's
great. But when it's contacting with the ball, that's when it gets painful.
Probably why he could play Sunday.
We'll get more information on that coming up with Dr. A around 9:30 a.m. Eastern time today. More baseball coming your way when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Yeah. Back here with you on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Angle, Matt Modica, Greg Sussman. No Roto Experts at the park today. Scotty, we hope to hear from Clint Frazier soon, though, right?
Yeah, our Michael Waterloo was actually at the Iron Pigs and Scranton Wilkes-Barre game last night getting some audio from some top prospects. He was actually there to see Gary Sanchez homer in his rehab assignment, and Sanchez might be back with the Yankees as soon as Friday.
It might be even sooner than that.
Did he homer in a first pitch?
Yeah, yes. And Austin Romine got injured, so we'll have to wait and see the results of that. I know you were kind of like, should we mess with Romine catching the way that he's been doing?
I have been. As you said, Austin Romine got hurt last night. I think it's more of a dehydration issue than anything else. But he left last night, and as you said, Gary Sanchez homers in his first at-bat. He's supposed to come back Friday. It'll be interesting to see if it's more significant injury to Romine to put him out of the DL, and they say, screw the rehab assignment for Gary Sanchez and bring him back today, right? Like, that's the other option. We'll see. We'll see how significant it is to Romine. We'll see if he can at least back up Kyle Higashioka today, or Higashioka today, in order to keep Sanchez on the timetable to catch 7 innings today, DH tomorrow, and then come back on Friday. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah, I'll be back at the park next week when San Francisco comes to town.
Okay. We mentioned...
Madison Bumgarner won't be there.
No, Madison Bumgarner will not be there. We mentioned the blisters and some of these injuries, and... You know, I kind of said it, I think, in the 7 o'clock hour about Miguel Cabrera, a guy that immediately goes to the DL, immediately hits a home run, and then gets hurt again. And it's that same groin area that it seems like he re-aggravated last night. And Detroit has really actually surprised me in this series. They've beaten Cleveland 2 days in a row. It was 5-2 last night. And it was Justin Verlander pitching, you know, solid game. 7 innings, 2-run ball. I know you don't like the 4 walks, 5 strikeouts, but... He did throw the 7 innings to get you the win. Justin Wilson pitched the 8th, and Frankie Rodriguez made it interesting in the 9th, but he gets his 7th save of the season.
Yeah, well, K-Rod, keep making
Verlander it. Has historically had trouble with Cleveland. I mean, they really bombed them earlier this season. It's not a team he's actually pitched well against. I mean, certain teams just have that. It's like Quintana versus, say, Detroit, stuff like that. But, I mean, looking...
I'm Chris Meaney, co-host alongside Ashley Docking of Fantasy Sports Today, and today I want to tell you about my makeup technique. I start by finding my makeup, opening it up, taking that little pad, dabbing the makeup, one dab on the forehead, one dab on the nose, one dab on the chin, and equally spread it out to the left.
Same injury, the whole thing.
Well, it's apparent it's a soft tissue injury. It's going to continue to deal with this throughout the course of the season, so really it's going to be a thing of pain management. We've seen him manage pain in the past, but as an older gentleman, I would be concerned.
Right. Corey Kluber also left this game with a lower back problem.
Yeah, we're going to get to Corey Kluber on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is hour number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Scott Angle. Fantasy Executive Corey Parson and CTM Baseball's Matt Modica. We are hanging out here on a Wednesday morning, May 3rd. We said it before the break, and we wanted to get into it now. A couple of injuries last night. One of them being Corey Kluber, who pitched 3 innings, got bombed in them, 7 hits, 5 runs, struck out 4, and got pulled for a back injury that is one of those things that has nagged him. We have seen him have this lower back injury before. How concerned are you, Matt Modica, on Corey Kluber?
I mean, I don't think I'm that concerned unless I hear some news that this is really serious back injury. He didn't seem to have it last night as well, so I'm not going to raise a high alert just yet. Kluber's a guy that, look, it's early in the season. I think if the back is healthy, he'll be fine come season's end.
What's the what is the exact back injury?
It says lower back stiffness.
Stiffness in his lower back.
Yeah.
I'm going to break it down. Go ahead. Y'all talk about it. I'm going to show you.
We got Dr. A coming on. We don't really need you to break it down for us. He's gonna let us know anyway.
All right. Well, the one thing I would help...
We've seen guys, though, come back from this and make the next turn.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm not going to be worried just yet. But on the, just real quick on the Detroit side with Cabrera, the one thing I, as a Victor Martinez owner, hopefully maybe he plays some DH and Victor Martinez could sneak in a week or two of first base.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be kind of nice.
Throwing a baseball off a little short hill like that can aggravate your lower back.
Is that what Jeff told you?
Martinez wasn't playing first when he was last out, though, right?
No, but I'm hoping that
they brought up that
the
guy,
fact that. If Cabrera say they don't DL him and they want to keep playing him, they put him in the DH role and they put V-Mart at first. You can get some first base eligibility.
Yeah,
he was on the DL. That's why Miggy was. That's why V-Mart was DHing, which Cabrera was on the DL. Right. That's my point.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Hey, what about this dude we were talking about in doing the draft season, Castellanos? How's he doing so far?
Batting .255. We spoke about him the other day. I'm not really worried about him. I think he's still going to be able to get good.
Leading the league in hard hit percentage. Oh, he leads the league in hard hit percentage.
So that means he's going to turn it around.
He's got over 15 RBIs now. I think.
That's good.
He's on pace for like 18 home runs and 88 RBIs, and I think
we thought he was going to do better than that. We thought he was 25 home run guy.
He has yet to heat up. Yeah, really.
You know, no, that was a stretch. 25.
No, I think he'll hit 25 plus.
Plus,
I still believe in it. He really hasn't gotten to a groove yet.
All right, like I said, once the weather starts getting warmer, we're gonna see some balls flying out of the park, even at a crazier pace than we've already seen.
You're so immature, Scott.
I'm immature.
You looked at me and started laughing.
Last night. I gotta talk about Dusty Baker doing Dusty Baker things.
What did he do?
I wanna know your guys' thoughts on this because it was really interesting to me. So you had Taijuan Walker versus Tanner Roark in this game, right? Now I'm really happy for once that I don't own Taijuan Walker because I'm done with his big bull crap.
Where
he doesn't pitch five innings, he lets a bunch of runs, he walks a million dudes, he strikes out some guys, and his ERA is close to five, right? Like, I'm so done, so happy that I talked myself into this idiot again.
You know, real quick with Taijuan Walker, he was so amped up and nervous at the beginning of this game that his teammates had to come out and calm him down.
Right. So, again, yeah. I'm so sick of him, and I'm pumped I don't own him anywhere. So, in his not five innings of work, Corey, dude pitched 117 pitches.
And whoa. That's got to be a record.
Well, Tanner Roark pitched six innings for Dusty Baker.
Oh, my Lord. He threw 125 pitches.
125 pitches.
Was it only Matt Moore last year? Many or more?
Remember, that's what killed Johan Santana.
That's the difference. This is what I want to stay on. Santana is a small, statured guy.
Yeah.
Who's coming off injury. Was older. And now Santana, for some reason, is the model for anybody that throws 120, 130 pitches.
Yeah.
That has to stop.
Okay. So where's he at now, Johan Santana?
Hey, he's pretty much done.
But he's washed. He's not in like the minors or like the military league.
I don't think even
he tried to come back twice and it didn't work.
Even if he didn't throw 130 pitches in that game, I don't think his career was going to be that much longer.
So it was coming to an end anyway.
He had two major injuries before that.
I remember that. Yeah. He was good when he was good.
Oh, he was awesome.
He was great. He was one of the most fun.
When he was on the Twins, he was lights out. He was good with the Mets, but the Twins, he was
one of the best changeups you'll ever see.
We'll talk more about the Diamondbacks, the Nationals, and if Dusty Baker and Tori Lovullo are killing these people by having them throw a combined, 242 pitches in like 11 innings of work. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Fernando Rodney. We'll also talk about AJ Pollock, Chris Owings, and the Diamondbacks running wild last night. We'll do that all when we return. This right here, this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'll be right back. Right. You like this one, Scott?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Rocks.
What is this? Hey. Scott, you should be in some kind of air instrumental idol.
they do have air guitar competitions.
Really? You should get into one.
But I can play the drums too, so.
I know, you play all of them.
The bass, you know, yeah. Stuff like that.
Well, this is the most hilarious headline I've read today, by the way. I want to get into the Diamondbacks 1 second. This is the headline I just read on this website, by the way. Rand Paul endorses Kane for mayor.
That's wild.
There he is. It's real.
There's a lot going down.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's funny. The man that played Kane, Glenn Jacobs, is running for mayor in his town in Tennessee. That's like actually a real headline.
That's crazy. Let me see how you look.
I'm assuming Kane's a wrestler.
Kane's a wrestler, yes.
Oh, you know Kane, son. Kane, one of the most popular wrestlers. Kane is like,
I've heard
of him. What did JR call him?
The Big Red Machine.
Yeah, the Big Red Machine. Not like the Cincinnati Reds, though.
General election takes place 1 year from May 1st. How about that?
Huh?
The election's in a year from now.
Okay, so shout out to Kane.
Go Kane, I guess. All right.
I don't know what his platform is.
I haven't read what he's all about, so I don't know. All I know is that Rand Paul's endorsing it.
Yes, Go Kane. I mean, I hope. Running for mayor or what? Because hold on. We don't need Kane to be mayor. You know what I'm saying? Look, before we get to the Diamondbacks, what city is Kane running for mayor of?
Kane is a longtime libertarian and conservative activist who is running for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
All right. Knox. So they got mayor for the county?
Sure.
I never heard of that before. Yeah. A county mayor.
Oh yeah,
I
absolutely.
Remember that when I lived down in Florida. Yeah,
Knox County. I'm gonna do some research on this place. But let's talk about. You know what I find interesting? Bless you, Scotty. So we talked about the Fernando Rodney thing before we left, right? AJ Pollock is getting it done.
AJ Pollock's getting it done because on the year he's batting .318 with the OBP at .359. He's got 11 stolen bases.
That's
already
crazy.
And they went wild last night with 4 steals for the Diamondbacks, with Chris Owings having his 8th, Paul Goldschmidt having his 8th, Jake Lamb having his 3rd. And I remember back in spring I had said that Tori Luvillo, when he was a minor league manager, he didn't run. He never ran. When he was interim manager in Boston, they didn't run. The Diamondbacks run more than any team in baseball right now, and shows you what I know.
Well, no, but a lot of people were saying that. A lot of long-time people, well-respected people, were saying the same thing you were saying, and they're just running wild. I mean, this is just the only person that has more stolen bases than AJ Pollock is
Billy Hamilton.
So, I mean, look, and Owens got 8, so he's tied for 3rd.
Goldschmidt's got 8.
Yeah, that's right. Both of us.
They both have 8.
That's unbelievable.
Look where you got Chris Owings in drafts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Chris
this
Owings.
This guy's going to be 2020.
Chris Owings has been phenomenal. Batting .309 with .356 OBP. Love him in that two hole. I mean, that's like the perfect two hole guy, right? In between AJ Pollock and Paul Goldschmidt. There sits Chris Owings, and it's a fantastic year for him with 4 home runs and 8 stolen bases through the first month of the year. Really, really good start to the year for Owings.
Yeah, and Lamb is just, you know, he's hitting bombs.
No, he's a beast.
Yeah.
I feel like Yasmani Tomas hasn't hit many bombs recently.
No, he's having a good year. I mean, he's
cooled off a little bit over the last few days, but it seems like he was hitting one every day there for a while.
It seems like
AJ Pollock, the whole thing about him coming into the season was health.
That wasn't about ability. Yeah. It was only about health.
In my opinion, he wasn't a first-round talent that you were getting later. He just has to prove that he can stay healthy.
Yeah, Chris Herman, you know, we...
Herman, huh? We're not going to call him just Chris Herman. Chris Herman.
His name's pronounced Herman.
Is it?
Yeah. Christopher Herman.
Yeah. I've been learning more about these. Like, it's not Avisaíl García.
Oh,
you
what
know,
is
we've
it?
All been saying that. It's
yeah.
Avisaíl. Yeah.
No, how did you find this information out, Scotty?
Watching the games and stuff.
Oh, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
But Herman, like, you know, he never gets to play. They put him in the lineup last night. He homers.
What about Nick Markakis?
Remember you told him? Wait. You told him to pick Chris Herman because he was, Chris Herman because he was going to play every day. Now he said he never plays. Yeah. We told you that.
I was wrong about that.
You didn't believe me. There you go.
You're wrong about Billy Hamilton too.
I think so too.
No, I'm not.
One category guy. Like the best in the category, maybe ever.
Fantasy baseball is five categories.
All right, go.
Moving on from that.
So, Ryan Zimmerman, how about that? Because Ryan Zimmerman was 2 for 5. He's still batting over 400. Bryce Harper's still awesome. Trey Turner's still awesome.
I got a new Roto Experts at the Park up on the site.
Oh, really?
About the Nationals. And, you know, doing some more research on Zimmerman, he's got the highest hard hit percentage of his career right now.
Nice.
At 42%.
I wonder what's different. He's healthy?
He's changed. He's tweaked his mechanics. And if you listen to that interview or read the article, slight adjustment to his leg kick, slight adjustment. He's really changed his launch angle and has made a big difference for him.
Should we do a pool? You see when he's going to go on disabled list?
Again, he's like.
June 15th, over, under.
June 15th?
Yeah.
I'll be the optimist. I'll say over.
Oh, what about you, Scotty?
I'm going to say July 25th.
All right, so you got him going over to July. What about you, Greg?
I'll take the under.
Take the under? Oh, you think it's coming soon.
Corey, when do you want him to go on the
disabled list? Oh, I don't want him to go on the disabled list.
Okay.
I don't want him.
He's Washington Nationals.
He's playing my Washington Nationals, guy. We're trying to win the World Series.
You're Washington Nationals.
Trying to win the World Series.
Trying to win the World Series.
After we win the National League East.
Yeah.
No banners yet.
So, no banners yet, but, you know, it's coming, right, Corey?
Oh, it's coming. No doubt.
It's coming. Hey, Seattle lost to L.A. last night by a score of 6-4. And I get into this because I want to talk about Matt Shoemaker, because Shoemaker pitched 5 1/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, Cola walks, by Cola I mean 4, 5 strikeouts. Bud Norris actually blows this first save, Javi Garrett comes on and gets the win. Now, I'm not upset that Bud Norris blew a save here, but again, still there's no word on anything about Cam Bedrosian, which is very frustrating. And I noticed somebody was quiet over there about James Paxton Knight. Like, there was no celebration here. I know he pitched fine, had 1 earned run, 2 runs total, struck out 6, did walk 5, so it wasn't brutal, but there was no Paxton Knight celebration yesterday.
I was tweeting stuff out last night.
I was tweeting pictures and stuff.
I think what Paxton did last night, and Matt Shoemaker to an extent, they didn't have their best control, obviously, and they battled through. Paxton was in and out of trouble pretty much every inning. I mean, he had bases loaded situations. Got out of it. Shoemaker, same thing. The control was hurting him.
He walked 5
and
last
he
night.
Left the no game fool. with a runner on, and then that run scored. So, I mean, I was hoping for a really good pitching duel. I didn't get that last night. But, you know, these were guys that battled without their best stuff last night.
The both guys battled. Do you think that, like, people have kind of been waiting for Shoemaker to turn it around a little bit, right? We've seen some control issues with Shoemaker. The strikeouts, which we were used to seeing much greater last year, have declined in each of his last 3 starts. Hasn't really gone that deep in the game, Scotty. Is Matt Shoemaker a guy who everybody was high on coming into the year? Is Matt Shoemaker a guy that we can expect this, you know, to see how where he was so good last year, to see that again?
I don't know. I mean, he was good down the stretch, but, you know, a lot of his strikeouts came in like a certain cluster of starts. I think Shoemaker's going to continue to be inconsistent. I don't know if I have a lot of confidence that, you know, I haven't seen it wire to wire yet, and I don't know if we're going to see it this year.
I mean, I kind of like Shoemaker. I think he kind of turned it around last night. And like I said, he wound up giving up that 3rd run after they took him out of the game. I mean, prior to that, I mean, look, the guy's made, what, 6 starts? 4 of them, he's allowed 2 runs or less. So, look, I think the hardest part he's had this season has been more control-related than anything. And between control and the home run issue, I like Shoemaker. He's not a top end of your rotation kind of guy, but I think he's a solid piece to your fantasy staff.
Yeah, and it was also interesting to him. Last night, he went back to the site of where he got hit in the face last year with Seattle. Yeah,
That had to be emotional.
Yeah, you wonder if it is, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it would be.
Yeah.
I'd be devastated.
The
well, I wouldn't have been able to pitch.
No. He wouldn't have been able to pitch. Cameron Mayberry actually stole his fourth base of the year. Pujols stole his first, and I assume
he stole at third base, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. It wasn't
double.
Yeah,
he had the big hit to win the game.
Cole Calhoun is his third home run of the year. Yes, Corey.
Go ahead. I'll tell you when you finish.
Oh, okay, no problem. Pujols was 3-for-5. Mike Trout was 1-for-3. Martin Maldonado also had a hit, just for you Maldonado owners out there like myself. Danny Valencia hit his second, and he's kind of, you know, I don't want to say, like, rebounded here, but he's had a couple of home runs since Danny Vogelbach got pulled up.
Yeah, Vogelbach got sent down. So,
yeah, Vogelbach no more.
Yeah, Vogelbach
sometimes,
is gone.
Sometimes when you get a player, like, nipping at your heels, You'll see a guy turn it around.
Look at Tommy Joseph from Philadelphia the last couple of days.
Sure, Tommy Joseph's also a guy that's woken up.
This game was 4 hours and 40 minutes.
That's too long.
That's ridiculous.
I can't do that. That's too long. Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning in a little bit. Be back. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Dr. A coming on the program in a little bit.
I like what you're doing here, Scott. Now, do I have the right motion down? I'm learning how to. You got to shake.
You got to cross your arms.
You got to cross my arms. Oh, yeah. There you go. Hey,
We've been waiting.
Hit the symbol. I love it.
We waited for Jose Quintana to wake up this year. It happened, right? As finally. The man who's most likely going to be traded this year, the man that many people believe they had a solid number two and who had a way over a 5 ERA, pitched awesome last night. 8 innings, 4 hits, walked two guys, struck out 7 in a hopeless and helpless Kansas City lineup. And Danny Duffy was not good. 5 innings, 10 hits, 6 runs, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Not a good look.
Yeah, and, you know, this is like, if you were playing daily last night, like you wanted to go in the direction of Quintana. Right now, the Royals have 69 runs in 25 games. That is the worst offensive start in franchise history.
Didn't like the Nationals score like more runs last week than they scored like all these
seasons? Yeah, the Nationals scored 73 runs
against the Mets.
In 6 games. The Nationals scored 73 runs in 6 games. That was the second highest total in Major League history, despite the fact they lost 2 or 3 to the Mets.
Yeah, what I took from this game is, I mean, Danny Duffy he's been disappointing to this point from what you're expecting. The strikeouts are way down. I know in spring the velocity was a tick or two down. I'm still going to hold out on Duffy. Hopefully, you know, makes a couple of adjustments, whatever needed. The last 2 starts against the White Sox, he's like the bizarro Jose Quintana, where he's allowed 6 runs each, and Quintana has pretty much been unhittable.
Corey,
pitching pretty good until the last 2 starts, though.
Yep.
Can you cut Eric Hosmer?
Oh, boy. Batting 227 right now. The OBP is at 279.
We're talking 12-teamer here, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't think you can cut him yet.
All right. Just asking.
I'd use my bench. I mean, I'm sure there's guys on your bench you can get rid of, too. I'm not a big Hosmer guy, but I got to think he's better than this.
Get back to Duffy for a second, though. You know, the last 2 starts before these White Sox starts, he was looking good. You know, he had 29 strikeouts and what was it like in the last 3 starts before that, and he had only allowed 4 runs in 4 starts leading up to the White Sox. Yeah, it's kind of baffling too. But you know, the White Sox have started to hit recently, but still, you figured he would do well against them.
Yeah, no, I'm just a little more concerned about the strikeouts per 9 being down, and like I said about that view. I do like Duffy. He was pretty much projected as like a top 20 pitcher, or right around that number 20 mark this season. So you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not bailing on Duffy. I just would like to see, you know.
Hey. But Hosmer's BABIP is 250. So that means he's going to turn things
what's
around.
What's his career about that?
I don't know his career BABIP.
But like veterans, like people always want to look at the
his career BABIP. His career BABIP is 308.
Yeah, see? So it's 58 points less.
Yeah, like why cut him when you just absorbed all this.
Yeah, yeah, the good times are coming.
All right. So there you go.
You thought I open the door too, right?
What the hell's going on here?
I came in yesterday, some dude was in the studio.
Just chilling?
I was like, what the hell are you doing in here, son?
I mean,
What did he say?
Because I was looking.
And like, in fairness, like with Jose Quintana, I drafted Jose Quintana as my number three SP. I think he's going to be a solid number three SP at year's end. Look, he's gotten healthy against the Royals. I mean, against the Royals. He had the two starts where he gave up five runs, I believe, against the Tigers and the Twins. But this is a guy, look, it's April. You gotta look at it with the hitters and the pitchers. You can't get too crazy on the guys that have been there and done that.
And you look and you say, okay, he did it against Kansas City. But if he didn't do it against Kansas City, how worried would you be?
It's like when the pitchers in the National League face the Padres. And, you know, if you don't get healthy on the Padres, then you get...
Beat who you're supposed to be.
Perfect point, Scott. Perfect point.
All right, with all that, we bring in our resident doctor here, the doctor that should be hired by the New York Mets because their doctors are terrible, even though Scott won't admit it. It is Dr. A from Inside Injuries. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all today?
What's up, Doc?
Hey, Doc.
I thought he'd say, hey, guys, but I guess not. Hey,
oh,
Doc.
Hey, guys. I thought you were going to jump right into the Mets. So.
I was going to wait for you to say hello.
No, we always want to speak with you, see how's everything going with you, Doctor.
That's the most important thing.
This is not just, Doc, this is a personal friendship.
Yeah.
This is not just a business thing. You know what I'm saying? We're friends, Doc. We want to know how you're doing.
I feel the same way. I am doing great, guys, and I hope you guys are doing well, too.
We're doing well. Now, Corey and I are doing great. Scott's incredibly optimistic, and Matt's not doing so well because, you know, we jump into the New York Mets because I just have to ask if you, as a medical professional, feels they are as incompetent and as stupid as I do from a medical.
Tell them why you really feel great.
Well, I'm just asking if you feel like I do.
I feel you.
Because I know that you had assessed for this last week. He comes back from a hamstring injury, plays 2 days in a row, immediately injured his hamstring even more severely than it initially was. Noah Syndergaard had bicep soreness. He couldn't lift his arm over his, you know, over his shoulder, over his head. And 3 days later, he pitches, and all of a sudden, he has a torn lat muscle that's going to keep him out for 2 months. Lucas Duda guaranteed he's going to be playing tomorrow, and then he felt a sensation in his elbow. These are three guys that the Mets lied to us about, three guys that the Mets, in my opinion, mishandled, and three guys that fantasy owners now have to worry about when or if they are coming back. Doc, are you with me that the Mets mishandled all of this? And what is your prognosis on all three of these players?
Well, I will tell you one thing, knowing that because I've been in certain teams' locker rooms, and you know, it is a very, very difficult situation sometimes to combat a professional player in terms of, you know, the type of injury and their desire to get back out into the field, because, you know, these guys are, I know they're professionals, but they're also massively intense and passionate about the sport that they play. So there is it's not easy. However, I almost wish the Mets would have some of the metadata that, you know, that we have to give to, you know, all of the people that are listening, is the fact that, you know, for example, Cespedes, you know, we've had him at elevated injury risk because of the grade one hamstring strain. We said that he should have at least 2 weeks of rest. He did not have that. He went again, and lo and behold, another hamstring injury in the same hamstring muscle. It's probably teetering on the edge of being torn a little bit. And so now we're saying, again, he's got to rest for 2 weeks, okay, at least before he comes back in. And unfortunately, though, he's probably going to be elevated injury risk the rest of the season because of now the double hamstring injury to this, you know, within the same season, and, you know, the type of player he is. Lucas Duda, you know, we had him at elevated injury risk because of this, you know, because of this elbow injury on the non-throwing elbow. But he also has a history of back injuries. He had a grade one hamstring strain during spring training. You know, he said he was 100% over the weekend. You know, but the problem is that with these types of combination of injuries, he's at an elevated injury risk, and, you know, lo and behold, it's now a hyperextended non-throwing elbow, you know, it's just statistics sometimes do not lie, and you know, I wish that there was, again, this push for data to be able to guide the medical staffs of these professional sports teams to be able to manage them properly. And then Syndergaard, okay, first of all, a player can never refuse an MRI. I know a patient can refuse an MRI because of money or something like that, but or that they don't want it. That's their prerogative. However, a professional sports player that everything is riding, his whole livelihood and the team's livelihood for a certain extent is riding on appropriate management of an injury. There should never be a player that can refuse an MRI and be able to go back out onto the field. You know, I'm not criticizing any particular team or
we're criticizing the Mets. Yeah. It's fine. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, like, and I know that he most likely had a grade one injury, and he exacerbated it to a grade three by going out there, and now he's got an 8-week optimal recovery time, because of the fact that he's had two repetitive injuries in the same place, okay, that he will never get back to low injury risk this year, and he'll be at an elevated to high injury risk the rest of the season, and that's the issue. That's sort of my sort of makeup of the Mets staff right now.
Matt Modica's sitting here just shaking his head.
Well, because I remember when we had Doc in studio and stuff, and he said it perfectly.
He called Cespedes.
He said Cespedes and players like Cespedes, outfielders, their stature and stuff like that, they need the full 2 weeks. The only reason the Mets put him in, they were desperate. They had the Nationals coming up. They dropped like 8 or 9, 9 or 10. And now it's just gotten worse. Now, do you think he needs a full month to repair this hamstring?
Cespedes, right now, it's 3 weeks. So not a full month, but if he rests for 3 weeks, he will be, you know, normal hamstring, grade one, is 2 weeks. But because he's now had two in the same in the same body part, it's now 3 weeks.
So I as a Met fan, I kind of hope he's out till like June 1st, so maybe he's like, could be as best possible going forward. This is kind of
yes. Best possible, though, it is unfortunately an elevated injury risk. I know that a lot of fantasy owners have him on their team, unfortunately, I think if he had just rested the first time around, he would have gone back into low injury risk. But unfortunately, now I think he's going to be elevated through the rest of the season.
Hmm. That's very interesting. Do you think we'll see? We'll see Duda back anytime soon?
So, absolutely. You know, the good news is, if there's any good news, that it's the non-throwing elbow, okay? And so, you know, it's a grade 2 non-throwing. You know, it's a, you know, you know, in football it's a lot different for the non-throwing. They just throw them out there again because it's just the way it is. But in baseball, there's a lot more sensitivity to this, so you know, he'll be out for 2 weeks. I think that's what the ORT is looking like right now, and he, unfortunately, also for him though, he'll still be he won't go back to low injury risk. If he does, I would be surprised that the algorithm would put him back into low, but he'll be at elevated probably, you know, even when he comes back after 2 weeks.
Doc, what kind of insurance do the players have? I'm just curious to that. Is the team sponsored insurance?
Probably union.
Union.
So the team, there's a whole bunch of different insurances, right? So the team takes out insurance on the players, you know, for the team's sake, for their salaries, like in terms of, you know, that sort of thing. You're talking about that type of insurance?
Come on, healthcare, like health insurance, coverage. Right. What kind of coverage do the players have? I'm just curious. Like, does it get it from the union, the team? Really?
It's the best. Yeah, the team, and it's a lot better than the normal citizen. I'll tell you. You know, because insurance companies will have, they always put the tag of medically necessary. You know, if somebody has an MRI every week for the next 4 weeks, you know, to follow an injury, that doesn't happen in regular day citizens, right? In baseball and sports, man, they have full access, and if whatever they need to do to monitor an injury, they'll have. And that's what shocks me the most, that they just didn't force Syndergaard to get an MRI, regardless of whatever he says. You know, it's so important.
It's mind-boggling to me that they didn't do it. Hey, I just have one more question, Doc. That regards someone from last night, and that's Miguel Cabrera. And he came back from this groin injury, felt great after 10 days, hits a home run, and then immediately leaves again with the same groin tightness. I understand it's soft tissue. I understand it reminds me of Cespedes. Now, I have to imagine his injury risk is not low anymore. What do we think of Miguel Cabrera re-injuring himself last night?
If you guys remember, this is the same pattern, right? He returned too soon. You know, he did not. I guess they talked about the cold weather, and you know, the cold weather does play into a part. But the biggest thing is the fact that they did not allow him to rest. You know, the optimal recovery time. You know, we always said that he needed the three weeks. They didn't let him rest. They brought him back after 15 days, and lo and behold, this is not surprising that he does again have groin tightness. And what that means is he has a grade two groin strain. He should be resting for 3 weeks. He was at high injury risk with this, you know, not waiting the full 3 weeks to come back, and now he's again at high injury risk. This is the same sort of theme that these guys are coming back too soon with these types of injuries. They need the rest, and if they do, then they'll increase the time from that point to where they get re-injured again. So instead of getting re-injured in a week, they may be re-injured in 3 months, which is potentially a lot better than getting re-injured in a week.
There you go. There you go, Dr. A. Inside Injuries. Download the app and read it at rotoexperts.com. That's going to do it for us. That's going to do it for Dr. A. We'll talk to him next week. We appreciate the time. When we come back, more baseball here with you. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey, when you're innocent, you have to have your mouth like wide open.
I have that, yeah, so I'm doing it right now. Okay, you can have your mouth closed. Now, what is this right here?
What do you do? What is the hell is that?
That's not an instrument right there, Scott.
What is that?
That's the little that's a little ZZ Top action there. I'm sure of Matt
go ahead, Scott.
It.
Rock out on your air guitar.
Guitars around and,
yeah.
You know.
I love this right here. Hey. Scott, we do got to put you in the... We got to enter Scott into the air guitar championships.
We do. I remember I asked Scott if he played any instruments. He said he dabbled in air guitar.
He says, do you play any instruments? I go, I dabble. He said, what? Air guitar. Now, when you watch the ZZ Top video, they have like a certain handshake wave that they do. It goes under, over... Wave.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So yeah. I got
to
learn that.
ZZ Top had like these fur guitars and they used to spin them around like between them when they played chords.
Yeah.
They would actually spin the guitars and they'd land up in the same spot.
You're talking a lot of ZZ Top today. You got your Kiss shirt on though.
Yeah.
Don't.
ZZ's all right. Yeah.
I know, I'm just saying. Don't.
Yeah. You know
betray.
That song, She Got Legs, that's mm-hmm. ZZ Top.
I'm familiar with ZZ.
Yeah.
Remember when I said
ZZ Sabathia?
I ended yesterday's show telling you the story of Carlos Martinez getting rid of the hair extensions.
Oh, God, yeah.
He pitched yesterday.
Without the extensions.
Without the extensions. 7 1/3, 0 earned run allowed.
He knew what the hell he was talking about.
4 hits, 1 run total, 1 walk. He struck out 4, 105 pitches into the 8th inning. He pitched really, really well. Trevor Rosenthal comes on the day after O blows a save again and gets his 3rd save.
Yeah, sometimes we say, you know, you got to be ahead of these things. Especially in competitive leagues. I know they're saying O still has a job, but I'd be picking up Rosenthal if you
he's
need to
owned everywhere
on,
now, though.
Saves. I still see him available in like one or two of my leagues. I'm going to go get him.
Well, I think Martinez, those extensions were god awful anyway. That was his second best start of the season. That opening night start against the Cubs was his best. But, I mean, Rosenthal, yeah, I would expect if I needed saves, but I think. They're going to give O every opportunity. He did blow the save the night before, which was aided by a Colton Wong error. So, you know, I think Scott's right. If he is available in any leagues, I'm sure there's a guy you can drop from.
What about Willie Peralta, guys? 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, walked 2, struck out 7. You know, just missed out on the quality start, gets a loss, but he pitched well. He's 4-2, Modica, on the year here. What do you think of Willie Peralta?
I don't know. Maybe it's just too I've seen him too much in the past and stuff. I just can't get behind Willie Peralta. I do think Willie Peralta would be pretty awesome in the bullpen at some point. I mean, he would be a lockdown reliever. I just don't know if he has that consistency. Last night, you know, he pitched really well. He's got that 95-mile-an-hour fastball. But like we see with guys like Nathan Eovaldi and stuff like that, just because you throw 95, you know, 96, you got to have some movement. I mean, maybe it seems like since last September, he's figured some things out, and he's pitched much better than he has in the past.
He got to the good fastball, like Matt said, but everything else is trash. Like, the whip is trash. The ERA is terrible. He's giving up too many home runs.
That's historic with him. He always gives up a lot of home runs.
Sucker.
Yeah. You'll see Willie Peralta. The start before this, he got blown up. Now he's had a good start. You just can't rely on him. At best, he's going to be inconsistent.
I'll tell you what. Matt Carpenter, even though he had his third error of the year. He's heating up a little bit, guys. 2.4. I know the average is 2.56, but that OBP, and you know the OBP is what you're concerned about with Matt Carpenter. 3.81.
That's
right
good
now.
Right there.
Another guy to look at on the Cardinals, look at where Colton Wong is at, 278. He's been playing very well of late.
His OBP is 381 also, Colton Wong.
Yeah, he's a guy in a couple. I mean, I had him as a reserve round pick in a lot of leagues. I picked him up like 2 weeks ago anywhere he was available, hoping that the power speed thing can translate.
Yeah, he's been playing well in the field too, so it's like translating all of that around the diamond for him in the last week or so.
Absolutely, it's kind of all coming together. I just want to go on the other side for a second. As Domingo Santana, once again, 1 for 4, he scored the only run last night from Milwaukee.
I think there's a lot of signs. If you look at the advanced metrics for Domingo Santana, he's a guy that I do believe something nice will be coming his way. I'm hoping to. Disclaimer, I do own him in a lot of places. But, you know, just go to the Fangraphs page. You know, look at the BABIP and everything else and all that kind of stuff. I think better days are ahead for Domingo Santana. I think he's a guy that we all kind of feel had that chance to break out, and Milwaukee's going to give him every opportunity.
Here's something. Last week, Eric Thames hitting 182 with no home runs, no RBIs.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome. You didn't have to go on the DL. Let me cool off at some
point. The tightness in the hamstring is what's causing the problem.
The fantasy exec put the voodoo.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, but now is the time.
At some point, he was going to cool off regardless, and I guess he needs to see Cincinnati again.
But I think now is the time to actually try and acquire everything.
Now's the time to buy.
Maybe the owner is saying, like Scott, like he faced Cincinnati 9-10 times, and you know, they see a week where he has done absolutely nothing. Maybe they're starting to get a little, maybe this was just a hot month. But I would be buying on Eric Thames.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm in on Eric Thames as well. Like I said, Aaron Judge. At some point, you're going to go cold, but you'll heat up again. He wasn't going to hit 3 home runs every day, right? It wasn't going to happen with Eric Thames. But it's time for us to clap it up here.
For who? Johnny VR?
For our man Byron. He did it.
He got a hit?
Not only
home run.
Oh, a home run.
That's why we clapped it up.
Wow, get out of here.
Byron Buxton's first home run of the season yesterday.
Shut the front door.
How about that? It's not what I thought you were going to say.
I asked you to tweet out last night. It was Sonny with a chance of homers, so Sonny Gray did allow for him.
There's a lot going on here in this Minnesota-Oakland game. Minnesota crushed the A's 9-1. Urban Santana, the Cy Young Award winner in the American League in 2017. It's now 5-0 after 6 shutout innings last night. 7 more strikeouts. The ERA stays at .66.
Why is he not on my team? Well, let's just look. I love Irv. He's pitched amazing. It's gonna come down. The BABIP's 144. The left on base is like over 99%. But on the flip side, Santana has done this since June 19th, 24 game starts, 157 innings pitched. He's got a 1.95 ERA.
He's doing good.
This with Irvin Santana. 6 starts with 1 run or less the last person in franchise history to do that to start the season.
Johan.
Walter Johnson in 1913 when the team played in Washington.
Yeah, but the guy's pitched almost a full season with a 1.95 ERA.
Unbelievable. This is very much for real.
Who the hell was Walter Johnson?
Why did we? How
one
did
of the greatest pitchers in baseball history.
Oh, okay. How did we miss his Irvin Santana thing during the spring?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. Why is that? I don't have him on no team. Like, why?
Well, if you listen to, like, I mean, I was on Roto Experts in the morning on the weekends talking about. Talking
why
about
were you on the Roto Experts during the week talking about Irvin Santana?
I have no teams. I haven't mentioned Irvin Santana.
No!
I don't know. I have him on plenty of
Corey
teams.
Corey and I would have had him.
I would have had him if I hadn't heard somebody say something.
If you
would have
been like, hey, you have Irvin Santana? I'm like, okay, sure.
And by the way, Miguel Sano hit a monster shot last night. Now listen to this. Ever since Target Field opened, above the batter's eye in Target Field, there's a restaurant.
What's it
called? Became the second player in the history of Target Field to hit a home run into the restaurant.
Who's the other player to do it? You know?
I don't know.
Because that was some shot.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Dozier got double dong last night, so that was
yeah.
Double dong.
Two home runs for Dozier, as Matt said. The eighth for Sano, as Scott said. One more for Dozier. One for Mauer. When Dozier and Mauer are hitting home runs, you know the ball's flying out of Target Field.
Somebody put a tweet out. What was I forget who it was, but somebody put, what were the odds that Byron Buxton and Joe Mauer would homer in the same game?
Imagine. Could you imagine how much money you could
have made on that? And the thing with Sonny Gray is, I know he pitched well in the minors. I personally wouldn't have started him last night just for the fact that, you know, it's his first game back. And the thing with Sonny Gray is his margin of error, that window, is so much narrower now. So, I mean, look, he can be much better going forward. I wouldn't write him off after that start. There were four home runs that really did him in.
Six home runs for the Twins, Target Field record.
For the Athletics,
Phil
like,
Hughes was pitching?
No. As you said, it was Sonny with a chance of home runs, and that was Sonny Gray's debut here last night for the A's in 2017. Six innings, five hits, four runs, two walks, four strikeouts. Now, he allowed the three home runs, which is bad. He pitched 88 pitches. I'm not saying I'm encouraged by the Sonny Gray start, but it wasn't terrible.
Well, he's going to get a chance to... the A's want him to go on a nice little run here so they could possibly flip him at some point. I mean, Billy Bean... He had a chance a year and a half ago to sell high on Sonny Gray, and he didn't. He's got to be regretting that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a good start at all. I mean, three home runs allowed four runs. Since the beginning of the last season, Sonny Gray now has a 6.27 ERA.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that in deeper leagues you're going to be looking at. I don't own him anywhere. I like I said, I wouldn't have started him in this first game off the DL. It's tough to start pitchers their first game back. I mean, unless they're like, you know, proven top guys, and Sonny Gray is a ways from that. You know, at one point, he was more of a higher recognition name.
Absolutely, especially because of what he did in the playoffs.
But how about Yonder Alonso?
How about Yonder Alonso?
Home run number five.
Do you tell me what I'm talking about, people that not a person in the world is talking about? That's Yonder Alonso. 292 average, 363 OBP. He's fifth home run of the year yesterday. Why, Corey, aren't we talking about Yonder Alonso?
Because he played for Oakland and we don't be up to watch the game.
Yeah,
I think it's because of the track record. There's just a track record of mediocrity, and I don't think anybody saw this coming.
Yeah, the track record, like Scott says. I mean, this was a guy that was pretty much supposed to be a can't-miss bat. I mean, I'm not saying he was going to hit like 30 home runs, but he was supposed to hit for average, maybe like double-digit home
runs. Billy Bean loved him forever. He's always coveted Yonder Alonso. Take a break. We'll come back. Final break of the morning. We will wrap up the Roto Experts and send you into the OGs coming up next. In the morning. This is unbelievable. I wish you guys could see this. Scott and Corey in the same rhythm are bouncing their heads back and forth.
Yeah,
a boy band.
We're getting ready for the...
You know who this is, Corey?
This is Eddie Murphy.
No, it's Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah, I know. It's from...
Oh, wait a minute. No, Glenn Frey. I'm sorry. It's from... Heat is on, yeah.
Yeah, from the classic, the Eddie Murphy classic.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Chris Pavone didn't like me missing that. He's like, it's cut fry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to talk about baseball anymore. We're done with that. Couple minutes left in the show. Last night, Corey, Wizards-Celtics went to OT. Celtics pulled it out. And you're still confident the Wizards are going to win this despite being down 2-0?
I feel like the Wizards are going to win this series. I just think this is the year John Wall. Obviously, I'm about to say the Red Sox. The Celtics are very hot right now. They're playing very good basketball. IT2, Isaiah Thomas getting it done. He had a special night last night. But I think this thing goes back out to Washington. I think the Wizards tie the series up 2-2. Then I think that game 5 next week is going to be critical. And I think the Wizards get that game 5. So, I mean, I don't know. I want to see how Washington plays. But if Washington ties it up, then this thing could very well go the distance. But game 5 will be the critical game of this series.
Do you think that there's any chance the Jazz can get past Golden State?
They can't beat them. I think they do win a game or two in this series. They're not going to be able to beat them. Last night, the final last night was 106-94. Golden State was just really just playing with them. They played one of their more complete games outside when they beat down Portland that night, which was the last game they played. Yeah. So, yeah, they're getting on a good roll right now.
Without Steve Kerr.
Yeah, without Steve Kerr. But obviously, I think, the Jazz will be sacrificial lamb. They may get it to 6, but it won't go much further than that.
The best thing Golden State's going to go for is just the Spurs and the Rockets beat the hell out of each other.
They need the Spurs and Rockets to go 7, so then this way they can sit back and relax and then get ready for the Houston Rockets. The Rockets team is very – I'll be honest with you, as a Golden State Warrior fan, the Rockets – Scott, get mad.
Who's the Golden State Warrior fan?
My Western Conference team, the Golden State Warriors, as a –
Midwest Division team, Atlantic Division team.
The Houston Rockets are going to present a tough challenge this year, especially without Dwight Howard on that team. It makes them so much better.
I think James Harden's at the proof of point.
We'll find out. He might be.
Westbrook's home.
Do you think it'd be as good of a series as Oklahoma City and Golden State was last year?
No, I don't. Golden State was down, man, 3-2.
Yeah, they could be down against OKC. Yeah.
Hey, that's going to do it for us. The Old School Fantasy Hour is up next with the OGs, Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and George Kurtz. From Modica, a crazy Scott Engel, and Corey Parson. Save it for when we're back on TV, gentlemen. That's going to do it. We're the Red Sports in the morning here at the Fantasy Sports Network. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a wonderful Wednesday afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.